Well, good morning. What a great day to be here, right? Just thrilled that you are here. Pastor Joseph introduced himself. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Clay. I'm one of the pastors here as well. And we are excited that you're here. And especially if you're new here, been coming, you know, it's your first, second, third time, you're kind of new around here. There's a couple things we want you to know as you're coming into this place. And one is this, that you are surrounded by people who are just like you. Not people that tolerate like you. I mean, we're just like you. We've made mistakes like you have made. We've all been hurt like you've hurt. We have hurt people the same way you have hurt people. We all have things, me too included, in my past that I would like to forget, that I would like to erase, to put behind me. You just need to know that you're around just normal, regular people here who have found a better way to live. And we're glad that you're here. The other thing we want you to know is that you don't have to believe like we believe to belong here. And, you know, so you can come in with however it is you believe. You could not believe in God. You're trying to check this thing out. You could have been a Christian for a very long time. You don't have to believe to belong here. We believe if you'll stay long enough that you will begin to believe the things we believe. But you don't have to believe to belong here. And the other thing we want you to know, no matter what your story is, no matter what's in your past, your story matters here. Your story is safe in this place. So just a couple things for you to know. So welcome, glad you're here. For all of our friends that are listening or watching online, we're glad that you're doing that as well. We're in a series that we began a couple of weeks ago called Epic. And what we mean by epic, what we're talking about is this grand story that God is doing, not only in our world, but since before the creation of time, and what it means to us, that there is something larger that is going on. And our heart calls to that, and that's what we've been going through and exploring in this series. So in the first week, 2 weeks ago, we made a statement that I think we need to kind of back up and revisit, and that is that you are created, and God's desire for you is to live forgiven and free. But that most of us, if you grew up in a church, had a church experience, you probably only lived out the first half of that, and you've learned what it means to live forgiven. And in a church, we're really good at pointing out how to live forgiven. We're good at pointing out your sin and telling you that you're living wrong or that you're not living right. We're really good at that as church. And for some of you, that's why you left the church. And maybe you're back now after a long time of being away, but you left because all they did was point out, you know, all the sin in your life. We're good at that, but we're really terrible sometimes as a church in teaching people how to live free. That Christ's mission when he came was not that you just live forgiven. He wants you to live forgiven and free. And then last week, we moved from that and we said, okay, so there's got to be a grand story that's going. There's got to be something going on that is bigger than who I am, that is a larger story. And so we began telling the story that even began before our existence, before time as we know it. And we walked through what that experience would be and how we play a critical role in that story, and how so much of life would make a whole lot more sense if we realized that we have a very real enemy, one who tried to stand up against God himself, lost that battle, was hurled to earth, tried to stop Mary and Jesus and all that Jesus was going to accomplish, failed in that mission, and now has taken all of that anger and all of the just hatred. And since he can't do it against the one that he's already lost the battle to, he has turned that on the object of God's love, and that is you, and that is me. And that we do ourselves very well to realize that we do live, as Jesus said in John 10:10, that there's an enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Not to be afraid of it, but to be aware that there is a reality of those things. And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to talk about something in how God created us as human beings. We're going to talk specifically about a man. We're going to talk about a man's heart and why men are created the way men are created. And then next week, ladies, don't worry, next week we're going to talk to you about how God created ladies and the heart and the desires that are in a lady's heart. And you get a really special treat because my wife is actually going to be on stage and she will be delivering the message. And if you've never heard my wife teach, you're in for a treat. For those of the guys that have gone on retreats that have heard my wife speak, You know, I mean, she's a very gifted communicator, and I look forward to having her talk to us about the heart of a woman next week, but this week we're going to talk about the heart of a man. How is it that God has created us as men? But first, let me just state this. Men, we run a different spectrum. We're all, you know, kind of different kinds of guys. So this isn't about being a rugged outdoorsman man, that we're not going to have a contest here that says, okay, real men, how big and how long can you grow your beard? We're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to flex muscles. You may be the type of guy that you can't communicate about cars and things like that. Neither can I. I mean, I'm just not that kind of guy. So when we talk about the heart of a man, we're not talking about the stereotypical heart. Some of you, you're here, I get it. Braveheart is a movie that speaks to me. Patriot speaks to me. Gladiator. But you may be the type of guy here that your favorite movie is The Notebook. And that's okay if it is The Notebook. Your wife probably loves you. Well, all I mean by that is, look, every guy matters. Your idea of a weapon might not be a two-handed broadsword. Your idea of a weapon might be your computer keyboard at work. This message still applies to who you are. And the other thing that I wanted to point out before we dive into this, I've only got about 30 minutes that I'm going to talk to you. And we are not even going to crack the surface of how deep of a journey God wants to lead you on and what he can do in your life. To give you just an idea, we take guys on a retreat and we spend 3 or 4 days together. And during that time, we talk about this topic, the heart of a man, and we spend 14 hours and we just get started. And then we invite them into fire pits and we talk for 2 hours every single week of every single year. Does that make sense? Yeah, something like that. We spend a lot of time. And so 30 minutes, guys, it's not going to cut it. There's more to the journey. So I just want to state that up front so that you're in it. So let's get going in here. William Wallace, in the movie Braveheart, if you've not seen that movie before, it's the story of a character named William Wallace who is a Scotsman, and he is trying to lead his nation, his people, Scotland, into freedom against a very evil king of England, Longshanks. And so it's a whole story of a battle between him and Longshanks and how he is trying to bring freedom. And one of the best quotes of the whole movie is the last quote that's in that trailer, where William Wallace says this, and I think he nails it. Every man dies, but not every man really lives. Every man dies. We're all going to die. That's why some of us, we don't like funerals. We don't like being reminded of our own mortality. Every man will die, but not every man really lives. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about how do we really live, that God's desire for us is to really live. In order to do this, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, kind of the beginning of our story. So in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26 is when men begin to come on the scene. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all small animals that scurry along the ground.' So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he creates them." And so God creates Adam and Eve in his image. And long before sin enters the world, and we need to pause there, because when I hear the story of Adam and Eve, I immediately go to the moment in the garden to which sin entered the world. But at this particular place and in this point, long before that has happened, God creates man and he places Adam into this garden and he gives him dignity. He creates man with strength, honor, glory, a purpose. This text says that we as human beings were created to reign over or rule over or have dominion over all other creation. Before sin enters the picture, this was the destiny. This was the intention of how it was. And as a kid growing up, I kind of missed all this. As a kid, I you know, you see the pictures. Remember last week we talked about flannel graphs and growing up in Sunday school? And the flannel graph of Adam and Eve is what? You put them up and there's a couple of apple trees and some different things, and we talk about Adam and Eve. And so the picture that I had as a kid all the way into adulthood is Adam basically is a glorified gardener, that this is his role. And to me, that means nothing, because I don't have a green thumb or a brown thumb. I have a black thumb. I will kill anything. My wife and I, she shares it as well. If you give us a plant, we will kill it. My mom once tried to challenge in this. She gave us a piece of bamboo. She said, "No one can kill bamboo. It doesn't need to be watered." We killed it. Honest to God. So Adam is a gardener. I'm like, well, good. Who cares? I don't care anything about gardening. Now, if you're a gardener, it's great. I'll eat what you grow. Right? I'll eat anything anyone grows. Unless you're from Colorado, then there's some exceptions. But Adam is a gardener, and I'm like, I don't get that. But we miss the significance of the moment if we just say, oh, there he is, tending the garden and doing his thing. And the significant is that he's placed into this incredibly huge, this large story, and given a mission where God says, look, I know that Satan, Lucifer, however you want to name him, tried to rise up against us because he wanted to take power. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create man and woman, and I'm going to make them in our image. I'm going to give them the very thing that Lucifer desired. I'm going to create him in my image, and I'm going to give him my authority, and I'm going to give him my dominion. See, this is the story in which we were created. And so Adam is placed into this grand place with purpose, which leads us to this idea, what is the heart of Adam that was created? There's three core desires that I've learned over time that are in every guy's heart. And the first one is simply this. We have a desire to have an adventure to live. There is something deep inside of us that when Adam is created and placed into this garden, there is an adventure that takes place. That every guy has a desire to live out an adventure. We all have it. I have it. You have it. You look around at every little boy, they all have it. You don't have to look that far, in fact, to notice it. How many of you have children? You have a boy and you have a girl. You've raised both. How many of you? Would you agree that they play differently? Little girls do what? They talk in coherent words. Boys do what? They make sounds. They blow things up. They go on adventures. If you have raised a little boy, every small stick becomes a gun and every long stick becomes a sword, even if you don't like swords and guns. And they go on an adventure with it. They play cops and robbers. You're the bad guy. I'm the good guy. They play superheroes. All of my kids went through superhero phases. They were great. They were Superman, and Superman was awesome. And then they were Batman, and Batman was awesome. And then they were Spider-Man. And then they played the greatest hero of all, Bob the Builder. Right? There's something inside of us that wants to do crazy adventures. That's why we will jump off buildings. We will jump off bridges with bungee cords attached to us. We will fly out of perfectly good airplanes. Because there's something inside of us that craves an adventure, right? I mean, you guys get this. You get a group of guys together, what are they going to talk about in general? They're going to talk about all the stupid things they did when they were younger and all the reasons that they should be dead. Right? Here's all the dumb things I did when I was 15. Here's all the dumb things I did in my 20s. Here's all the dumb things I did. And some of you are still talking. Here's all the dumb things I did last night. Right? There is something in it, and we'll root it on. Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll try to one-up your adventure story. Like, oh, yeah, you did that? Well, I lost a finger. I lost a hand, and they had to sew it back on. Like, we will try to up your adventure because there's something deep inside of us that just craves adventure. We do stupid things in pursuit of adventure. And the problem that we run into is the adventures that we generally turn to are temporary. That the adventures that we turn to, they're not very long lasting. We jump out of that plane, we're scared to death, we pull the chute, we land on the ground, adventure over. I need to do it again. I need to do it again. See, the adventures that we tend to turn to are temporary. They don't fill the void that God created inside of our heart. There's this core desire, something in this that says there is something more to this life. There is some grand adventure that you have been designed and made for. And it's not this silly little thing that you're doing. You were created for so much more. But in churches, unfortunately, we haven't done a really good job of tapping into this core desire that God created us to have. And if you want to know what I mean, I just want you to think and reflect. Those of you that grew up in church, this church is a bit of an anomaly. So when I make these statements, they're not always true of this church. But think of the church that you grew up in. Would you want to be like the men that you saw in the churches that you grew up in? Was that your desire to say, oh man, if I could just do that, I would be a nice guy? Let me put it to you a different way. The Super Bowl is coming up in 2 weeks, right? Would you rather watch the game with the church guys that you grew up with? Or would you rather watch the game with your buddies from work? And again, this church is an anomaly. You come watch the game with us, it's going to get a little bit rowdy. It's going to get a little bit crazy. But just think about that. And sure, I mean, churches are loaded with guys. They're nice guys. They're good guys. But adventure? I don't know. I don't really know that they understand what adventure is. And so the challenge and the problem for us is men come to us in the church and they say, look, I want to live a wild life with God. I want to go on a great experience. I want a grand adventure to go on. I want to live with my hair blowing back, what little hair I have left. I want to live going 90 to nothing. I want to wide open go at this. I want this crazy life with God. And we go, man, you really want to live? Yeah, I want to live. Man, you want freedom? Yeah, I want freedom. That's awesome. We're going to put you on the programming team, the rules committee. Oh. Yeah, man, that's really living. Telling you, talk about adventure. We might make you an usher. Nothing wrong with ushers. We got some ushers here. If they told me to sit down, I'm sitting down. I'll tell you that. But we're just missing the adventure component. And this is what we do to men. They come in and they want, there's some desire, there's something in us, says there's so much more. And we say, yeah, that's awesome. Come on in. And now that you're in, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. You need to start doing this. You need to start doing this. We need to clean you up. You need to dial it back. We got to knock off some of those rough edges. You know, you're a little bit rough. You need to control yourself. You need to sin less. Man, you got so much sin in your life. You got to learn how to sin less. You need to stop cussing. You need to stop smoking cigars. You need to stop drinking, or at least do what other Christians do and switch to light beer. You have got to stop all this stuff. And we take these men that are looking for some grand adventure, and we hand them a rule book. And we say, just follow the rules. That's the adventure. Really? This is what I'm supposed to do? God's created me to fight the evil one, to take on the battle and bring it out. And we're doing it to men over and over and over. Guys, this is why in church after church after church, there are guys sitting in services that are dutiful, but they are bored out of their mind today. They love Jesus. They're bored. And as churches, we have done it to them. You know, guys come in and they say, look, you need to be more like Jesus. And that's a great answer. That really, truly is a great answer. The question is, what Jesus are we talking about here? Like, I don't understand what Jesus is like. Let me give you a little bit of picture of what God is like and what Jesus is like. Exodus 15:3 says this, the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. The actual Hebrew word there for warrior is dread champion. Doesn't that sound cool? I like that translation better. The Lord is a dread champion. Let's do a little bit of logic here. Did we not just read, what did God say? Let's make man in what? Our image. If God is a warrior and I am created in his image, what does that make me? A warrior. Men, what does that make you? Apathetic. You are a warrior. And I get it. Many of you are going, I don't feel much like a warrior. I mean, that's not the picture that you've given me of Jesus about this whole thing, because there's a lot of confusion around what Jesus is really like. Right? We say, oh, be like Jesus. He's a super nice guy and all these things. But the image that mostly what we get of Jesus is not of a warrior. The image that we portray in churches of Jesus is more like this. Let's watch this together.
I brought something to show you. This is called a pitch pipe. And you blow in it like this. And that gives you your pitch so that you can sing. Can you sing that note? What about this one?
Really? So you want to live life to the full. You want freedom. You want to take on a battle. You want adventure. Up it up. That's what we've done, right? Like Jesus, oh, the meek, the mild, carrying around the lamb. Here you go, just be a nice guy. But that's not who Jesus was. Jesus was a warrior, fighting for the freedom of no one, of people that no one else would fight for. Jesus was reaching out to people that no one would touch. Jesus was taking outsiders and bringing them into insiders. He was fighting against a political system that put everything in its place. And he said, no, that is not how it is. It is like this. He was fighting against a religious system that had put people into bondage. And he said, no, I have come to bring you freedom. Jesus carried a two-handed broadsword, not a pitch pipe. This is Jesus. Jesus is a warrior. If you want an accurate picture of who Jesus is, I know we've given you a lot of books in the series, but this one, ladies, this is a good one too. It's not just for men. This book right here will open your eyes to who Jesus really was. Beautiful Outlaw tells you, Jesus was an outlaw. You're going to see a side of Jesus that John Eldridge writes in this book that will open your eyes to the warrior and will call you out to an adventure to live. You see, Jesus was a fierce warrior on a search and rescue mission to seek and save people that were lost. And we've been created in his image. We are a warrior, an outlaw, on a grand adventure. But here's the danger. C.S. Lewis nails it when he says this. If we don't find the adventure in life with God, we ultimately find it somewhere else. If we don't find the adventure in a life with God, we ultimately find it somewhere else, in affairs, in addictions, pornography, drugs, and things like that. You see, that right there is the story of too many men that I know that are trying to follow Jesus. They can't seem to find the adventure in the church. And so they find it in all these wrong places that just bring damage into their life. And it's time for that to stop. It's time for us to give men the adventure that God has called them to. Don't ignore the desire in your heart. Some of you need to go back and reawaken it, but it's there. But adventure alone is not enough, and God knows. So he begins to tell us in Genesis 2:21, great part of the story here. So the Lord God created man to fall asleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. The Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, The one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, that's a bit of an adventure all on its own. Now, go home, try that one out. Just walk around your house naked with your wife. That'd be an adventure, right? Naked and afraid, maybe. So God, glad you guys got that one. So God drops Adam into this story, into this great adventure, and he says, look, it's not complete. It's not good that he has to do this thing alone. It's not good for him to be alone. So he creates her. He creates Eve. He creates woman who has her own unique ability to reflect who God is and what he's like. And we'll talk about that next week. But in it is birthed another core desire that comes out of a man's heart. And that is to have a beauty to rescue. A beauty to rescue. And I probably don't have to do too much to convince us that men, we are just drawn to the beauty of a woman. We could make a whole series on how that's gone awry and the mistakes that have been taking place, but there's something built inside of us that is just drawn to a woman. And you need to know this, ladies, that you're here. Your beauty, it slays us. It will just knock us to our knees. It'll make us do silly, stupid things. But your beauty is a reflection of the beauty of God. And I know that you have an enemy that will come to mar it and scar it and try to tell you things that are different. But you are beautiful because you reflect the beauty of God, and that beauty will just slay us. You know, if a woman tells a guy that he's amazing, it just makes his day. Like if one of my friends come up to me and they say, "Hey, dude, you're awesome." I'm like, "That's cool, you're awesome too." But when my wife comes up and says, "Hey, how you did that and that thing, that was amazing." Oh, now we're talking. Need to put the kids down for a nap. They're teenagers now. Just good luck. Right? We have this desire, but it's not just for beauty. It's a desire to rescue the beauty. That in moments when, you know, she needs rescuing, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my wife brought me a jar. I think it was salsa or something like that, and she couldn't get it open. And so I'm messing around with it, you know, and I play with it. And finally, I opened this jar, and it was like, yes, I rescued the beauty. Here is your salsa, right? I mean, in the small things, it's that way. Some of you, your wife's asked you to do something, like for the last 6 months, it's been on the to-do list, and you haven't done it. And then when you finally do it, you know, you finally replace the light bulb that she's been asking you for the last year and a half, what do? You blow up her phone. Hey, change the light bulb. It's awesome. I'm amazing. It's great. I've rescued you, right? Now, those are funny things. But we're also made to come in and rescue for bigger things, a lot of which my wife is going to talk about next week. But women under assault by the enemy. And God has created you with a desire to rescue her, to help her, to fight for her. And so the stage is set early in creation. God puts Adam into the adventure. He gives him this wonderful beauty. He has a desire to rescue the beauty. They're standing in the garden, and the enemy shows up as the serpent and begins to warp and twist God's words. And in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent begins to speak to the woman. He says, "You won't die." The serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and this is an important point here, who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, and so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Guys, adventure is there. The beauty is there. All is right in the garden, and then Satan shows up. And God provides Adam with an opportunity to step in, to step up, to step in between his beauty and the lies and the deception of the enemy, and he doesn't. See, Scripture said he was there. He had an opportunity to rescue the beauty, and he failed. The first moment to fulfill one of the core desires of every man who has ever lived, and he fails. He blew it. And he chose Eve over God. And guys, we've been doing that ever since. And in choosing Eve over God, he actually let Eve down. And he failed. And in this moment, it kind of leads us and peeks us into a third core desire of every man, and that is that they have a battle to fight. A battle to fight. There's a battle in front of Adam right now. There is a fight. There is an enemy that is lying and deceiving and trying to come. There is a battle, Adam. Look, fight, turn around, go against this. And he doesn't. You know, we all have this core desire inside of us to fight a battle. You know, if someone were to break into your house tonight, you would do everything you could to stop them, including sacrificing your own life to protect your family. I know that that is true. That desire is put inside of you, and you may not have someone break into your house tonight, but your family is in a war. They are constantly under the assault of the enemy. The woman that you love is constantly under assault. Her identity is constantly under assault. Your children are constantly under an assault. There is a battle that sits in front of you every moment of every day, of every week, of your whole life. And the question becomes, do you step in or do you not? Do you wage war or do you step back and do you miss it? And a lot of times we miss it. And guys, I wish I had one story of where I've missed it. And I just told you that story over and over because I didn't have any more. But I continually keep adding to the library of times that I've missed it. One of the times was my daughter about 2 months ago. If you know Logan, she's a beautiful girl. She's a mess. When I mean a mess, she's a mess. We've called her Hurricane Logan since she was two. Wherever she goes, it's... And went into her room, and it was a mess, which is always a mess. But some things had gotten broken. Some things that were very important to her had gotten broken in the midst of all of this, and her heart was broken about it. And I had an opportunity then to step in and to rescue her and to speak into her heart. But I had just had a meeting about, you know, where finances were and where our family was, and my whole brain was just focused on money. And so I just went after her and I said, how could you do this? How can you be so irresponsible? You're continually breaking things. Do you know how much money that it's going to cost us to fix the thing that you did? And I just went after, and I took her little heart and I shot arrows into it. I had an opportunity to rescue my beauty, and I blew it, just like Adam. I blew it. So some hours later, I was just feeling really, really guilty about it. I went back into her room. I woke her up. I said, hey, babe, I got to tell you where I was wrong. I shouldn't have said these things. I went in a whole litany of things, and I started to build her up and how she's a princess and how she's beautiful and how she's more valuable than any stupid thing. But I missed the battle the first time. Guys, and we do it continually. There's a battle in front of us. There's a battle with the people that are in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it like Adam did. I want you to watch what happens next. So all this begins to happen. They eat the fruit. He misses the battle. And then verse 8, it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking into the garden. So they hid from God among the trees. And then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And so Adam replies, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid, and I was naked. You see, God, Adam messes up. He misses his opportunity, and he hides. And as men, we have been hiding ever since. We run from the battles, we hide, we don't engage. Yeah, there's a desire that's there, but we choose not to get into the battle. Why? Mainly because of the failures in the past. Because we have an enemy that whispers into our head, hey, you messed that up. Oh yeah, remember that time you said that to your daughter? You're a terrible dad. You should just give that up. And because we have failed so many times in the past, we think that we can never come through in the present. And so we just give up and we pass up and we don't engage. And we hide. And we hide in all kinds of different ways. We hide behind our titles. We hide behind our income. We hide behind our education. We hide behind knowledge, fitness, muscles, or wives. We hide behind our news outlets. We even hide behind our Bibles and the scriptures that we know. But we hide because we're afraid. I messed up in the past. How could I ever go to war? How could I ever fight? How could I ever be in an adventure? Because I'm such a failure. It's not true. God has placed that desire in your heart. Many of you need to rise up to it. Albert Schweitzer said this, the tragedy of life is what dies inside of a man while he still lives. And every time that you miss a battle, every time that you don't step up, there is something inside of you that dies, doesn't it, guys? Be honest with me. It dies. That is not how God created you to be. That is not what he desires for you. He wants you to rise up, take the battle head on. This is who you were created to be. an adventure to live, a beauty to rescue, and a battle to fight. This is who you are. And the journey to get there is an amazing journey. It is a wonderful journey. I know it because I have personally been on it. I played church for 38, almost 40 years of my life. And then I began to understand these core desires, and God played them out in my life. And for the last 10 years, I've been living a new kind of life. But I will tell you, it's not been easy. But it's worth everything. To everyone that around me, it is worth everything. And I kind of have a dream for this place that we call Next Level Church here, and for every guy that comes into this place, every person, but specifically, I just have a dream for men. That when someone thinks of men that are connected to this community, three words come to mind: restored, alive, and free. Not bored, not despondent, not apathetic. Restored, alive, and free. God wants that for you. God wants you to rise up. One of the ways that you guys can do it, I know we've said it, you can pick up the book Wild at Heart. I'd encourage you to do it. Actually, we had someone in our church go out and buy 17 or 18 copies, brought them in today, put them back where the guest services table is, and said, hey, I believe in this message so much, I'll just give them away. If you want one, pick it up. Go back to where the bags are, pick them up. It's not that this book is scripture, but this book has some truths in it that every man needs to hear. Pick it up, read it. If you're not into reading, get the audio. But let me tell you, don't just read it. Get a bunch of guys together and read the book together. That's how you'll live. Get a group of people and say, hey, let's meet before we go to work. Let's meet after work. Hey, we can get together on a Saturday, whatever. Let's talk about some of the things that are in here because I want to be alive. I want to be free. If you'll do that, God will awaken something in you. And you'll really begin to live. It's just a desire I have for this place. And the guys that I know that are living this message are the most alive guys that I know. They really are. So one last question before you walk out of here today. What best describes your life? Is it battle, adventure, and beauty? Or is it hassle, obligation, and duty? Be honest. Because if it's the second one, that's not how you were created. God wants so much more for you. Every man dies, but not every man really lives. Isn't it time for that to change? I think it is. Let's pray. Jesus, come. That's all I know what to say. God, I pray for every man's heart in this room, and I pray for the women that are trying to love them and trying to understand them. I pray that you'll speak the truth of what we've talked about deep into the heart of every man here. That we'll take this journey with you into the deep recesses of our own masculine hearts. The enemy wants us to dismiss these things and diminish them and destroy the desires of our heart. God, you've placed them there. To be honest, sometimes as a church, God, we've not really helped. So Jesus, would you come? You created this in the image. You created us in the image of you as warriors. Show us the path to step into that, to live not only forgiven, but restored, alive, and free. That's my prayer for every man in this space, every boy in this place. In your name I pray. Amen.